Yes, we'll invite everybody to speak up here. If there's something that comes to mind, I'm with Yuji Krishnamurti. And Yuji, just before we started this, I said that I had not really prepared. I have read the book, Disquieting Conversations with a Man Called Yuji. And I said I wanted to be spontaneous. And you had a question right back for me. So let's just start right there at the beginning.
Not a question, if I may put it that way, that there is no such thing as spontaneity. It's not that I'm making a dogmatic assert to statement, but what we call spontaneous is really not spontaneous, because if there is any such a thing as a spontaneous response to the stimulus out there, there is no space between the two. There is no division between the two. The stimulus and response. You see, it is a unitary moment. So there is no way you can say that this is a spontaneous response to something you are confronted with. You mentioned at the very beginning that you had an opportunity to read that book. And when you read a book of that kind, even then it is not for the first time you are reading that book, you see. So when you repeated what is there on the title, The Disquieting Conversations with a Man Called Yuji, it has already created a disquiet in you, because there is a reference point there. There is no way you can listen to or see or hear or smell anything, because you, what you call you, must be there. You is the one which is born out of the memory, the identity, the cultural input is all that is there. Otherwise, there is no way you can respond to anything.
So let me just clarify that. There is no absolute spontaneity, because however anybody responds to the situation in the moment, it is conditioned upon the accumulation of what
knowledge we have of things. And the knowledge is born out of the memory that is put in there, you know. So there is no such thing as, I'm using that word, no such thing as, is to emphasize that you have to know something, otherwise there is no way you can experience anything. And what you call your experience is actually and factually cannot be your experience, because all of our experiences are born out of the experiences that are passed on to us from generation to generation. So even when you are looking at that fireplace out there, unless you know what it is, you have no way of looking at it without telling yourself that that is a fireplace and that's a fire. I don't know if I make myself clear.
I'm going to try to stay with you here and continue to refine this so that it's understandable. If that's all true, then for the most part, we are not making free will decisions then, are we?
Absolutely not, because there is no way you can say that you have freedom of action or free will. Metaphysically, you can explain. Logically, you can establish a point of view. But actually, there is no freedom of action, because all the actions are born out of our thinking. And the thinking is born out of the thoughts that are put in there. And I question the very, very thoughts and thinking. You see, I say that there are no thoughts and there is no thinking there at all. Thought is nothing but memory, you see. So it's a recognition of what we know. We know that that is fire, and we know that that is a gentleman. I know that this is a microphone. I know that that is a tape recorder, you see. So the word tape recorder is the identity here. You may not accept what I am saying. So what you call Yuji in one frame is the microphone. In another frame, tape recorder. Another frame is a cassette. audio cassette or video cassette, as the case may be. In another frame, it is a remote control instrument. So there is an illusion or an impression that there is a person, or that there is one who is saying all these things. Each one is an independent frame. So the identity can be maintained only by assuming that it is the same thing that is saying all these things. I don't know if I make myself clear.
Well, to put it into the context for our listeners or somebody hearing this to understand, I'm getting little bits of it, and I've also tried to study, you know, some of the philosophies from books and teachers of the East that you are radically departed from. So, I don't know where we're going to go with this other than...
call myself a person who has radically departed from anything, but they're in a very strange position in the East, especially in India. Those who come to see me, all of them are religious people, even pontiffs come to see me, philosophers of all and every kind. But for some reason, they are not able to brush me aside, for the simple reason that they are still struggling to put me into that framework of what is passed on to them, you see. So my answer to all that question is, that's all that they can do. Either they have to reject me, saying that all this is nonsense, or accept me because they have succeeded in fitting me into that framework, which is the only thing that they have, you see. So they always have to put a sort of a label on me and call me a guru, call me anti-guru, you are a cynic, you are this, you are that. Otherwise, there is no way they can succeed in fitting me into any framework. If they don't do, or if that's what you are also doing, that's what everybody here is doing. If you don't do that, the you as you know yourself, the you as you experience yourself, is not there. So you are interested in adding more and more to that, and maintain and give continuity to that. Otherwise, you are in a very dangerous situation. So you have to know and fit what I am saying into the framework of the known there. So as I was saying a while ago to him in the car, I asked a friend who has been with me for 25 years, and they all ask me questions, even after 25 years. It's amazing that they ask the same questions. So one day I asked him, "You have known me for 25 years, probably 26 years now. If somebody asks you a question, what the hell you are doing with that man called Yuji, what does he say?" So the answer to that question, if there is any answer, everything that is going on there mustn't be there. If I say mustn't be there, the word is a very misleading word. You see, any movement that is there, trying to understand or say that this is the same thing as all the other teachers said, this is not the same thing as all the other great teachers said, this is something absolute rubbish. So any movement that is there indicates that you have not understood what this man has been saying. And there is no way you can understand, because all the time I am saying, when once that moment is not there, there is no need for you to understand. There is nothing to understand. This is all that I am saying. That's the reason why I say you always ask the question, how? The one thing that should happen to the literature, English, all languages, is that the word how should be removed from the languages.
How about why?
The why also is a variation of the same how. By asking that question, you want to know. So by adding more and more to what you already know, you are making it difficult for you to put yourself in, any word I use is a misleading word, to be in a situation where there is nothing to understand. You don't even tell yourself that there is nothing to understand. You don't even tell yourself that I don't know what he is saying, you know. So when once that movement is not there, there is no need for you to say anything to yourself or to say anything to anybody else, because what you are left with is something you will never know, and you have no way of knowing, and it can never, never become part of that movement that is all the time there, trying to add more and more and maintain its continuity.
Okay, I think I understand, and in this moment would strive to create a new place, starting fresh. Now, I know that's going to be difficult because I'm a creature of 51 years of quote, learning.
Yes, that's all that is there.
And during this time, in an attempt to know myself or to discover or realize what this journey in this body is about, I've realized a lot of the stuff that I've learned, I had to unlearn because it didn't serve me.
All right.
Now, where are we headed? Why am I here and why are you here? Okay.
You said that you are trying to unlearn, but the instrument that you have to use to free yourself from what you have known is the same instrument.
My mind? The brain-mind complex?
The brain is not interested. Brain is not even listening to what I am saying. As long as the listener is there, so long the question of listening or not listening or invent a thing called the art of listening, all that guff, you see, is part of that. But this mechanism that is operating there, the brain or whatever you want to call it, is not involved in translating what is being said here. So it doesn't even know that this is English language. It's like the tape recorder. It is recording everything. The tape recorder does not know that it is recording anything at all. It does not know that what is being said happens to be the English language or some other language. So when once, you see, you are interested in finding out what is recorded there, it is your problem, it is not the problem of the tape recorder. So that is the way this living organism is operating. So nobody listens to anything, you see. The listener is the one who is listening. As long as the listener is listening, the listener's interest is to give continuity to that listener.
So, why are we here, Yuji, and what is our purpose if it's not to accumulate? Okay. Well, the human being coming into a body, you know, some would say our purpose here is to be fulfilled and happy, even though we struggle as a society. Why are we here? What is this form of life that, you know, walks around on two legs and...
That living organism is living. A living thing would never ask those questions. Any answers anybody gives to those questions, why am I here? I always give a very, very, very silly answer. We are here because our parents made love. You see, why? I don't know. It's our concern because we are committing the same folly. You see, I have brought into this world so many children. So that is not really what is there behind this question, basic question, why we are here. Because you think that there is something more interesting to do than what you are doing. And something more purposeful there must be, you see, in our lives than this dull, dreary, drab existence of ours. Doing the same thing, thinking the same thoughts, feeling the same feelings, experiencing the same experiences. If you don't do, you are not there. So you have to continue to experience the same thing over and over and over and over again. That's the only way you can maintain the continuity of yourself. You understand? So that is not the instrument that you can use to unlearn yourself. If you don't have to unlearn anything, you see, the moment the demand to add more and more to that movement of the known, if I may use that word, maintain its continuity, the question how to unlearn does not at all arise. There is nothing there to unlearn. because you don't know a thing about what is put in there.
Did you personally have some realization at some point in time about all this, that your conditioning and what you learned?
I don't like to use that word conditioning because it has a certain psychological connotations.
What's a better word?
The living organism is conditioned. See, it has to be conditioned because it's such a mechanical organism that there is no room for considering the pros and cons, the right and wrong, good and bad. This division is totally absent there. So it's so mechanical that it is not interested in asking those questions. I don't know what...
Well, I was asking you what happened to you.
No, the conditioning you are talking about is bound to be there. It will continue to be there as long as you want to uncondition yourself and place before yourself an idea of an unconditioned being, unconditioned mind. So you don't realize that in this attempt on your part to free yourself from conditioning and to function as an unconditioned, is that the correct word, individual, you are conditioning yourself in a different way.
Okay.
There is no way that you can avoid this process of conditioning. And it will continue to do that as long as you want to free yourself from the conditioning. So to me, there is no way you can function as an unconditioned individual. But this conditioning here that is born with this living organism is necessary for its survival, absolutely necessary. So this is not interested in freeing itself from the conditioned way in which it is functioning.
I don't know if it will make any sense.
Well, I'm hearing what you're saying, and any attempt to uncondition, you're saying, is another form of conditioning.
Any attempt on your part to unlearn yourself is also a learning process. So you are stuck with this in such a situation that there is no way that you can resolve the problem by yourself or for yourself. So if you go to somebody seeking help from somebody else, he will put you on a merry-go-round because he himself has not resolved the problem for himself. If he has resolved the problem for himself and by himself, he would never suggest any way you can free yourself from conditioning.
What would you say to the organisms striving or attempt to have some peace
it is
in their life?
Peaceful organism. I maintain that the body does not want to know anything. It does not want to learn anything. So whatever you are interested in is not in helping this living organism, but trying to resolve the problems created by that mechanism that is put in there by our culture or society.
All right, I'm with you on this. So, because I feel this, and I know some other people who feel this, that we are acting in response to a construct that we have learned, and that we're stuck in this whole attempt to survive at some level based on what people have told us, rather than just hanging out.
That is true. The problem is to be free from the fantasy that through that you will be able to resolve this problem. All this effort on the part of us to free ourselves from the fantasy of transformation or radical transformation or something like enlightenment and all that kind of nonsense that is passed on to us from generation to generation is a monumental waste of energy. And so there is not a thing that you can do about it. See, any word I use is born out of this duality. I don't mean the duality in the sense that the Atman and Brahman, God and soul and all that kind of a thing. The language is a divisive movement in this living organism. It is a unitary movement. It cannot separate itself from anything that is happening out there or inside here or in here. And to divide the thing and say out there and in here is also a divisive moment there. Divisive moment is not part of this living organism. It is not interested in peace at all. It is a very peaceful living organism. And so the idea that you have a peaceful state of mind or a peaceful entity is the one that is disturbing the peace that is already there. So all that you are doing to create a peaceful mind or a peaceful way of living is rejected by this living organism because that is not part of this living organism.
Okay. If from your perspective, from the way you know, it would be people living in a more natural way without the conditioning, how would it be here? What, you know, how would we act in that place?
It will not be your action or my action. It is not an action which is born out of your thinking. All of our actions are born out of thinking. And that thinking is to use these thoughts to free yourself from something. You see? So, to free yourself from something will never help you to free yourself from that, because it is that movement that is disturbing the whole thing, you know.
Well, do you have any focus or purpose in your teaching or your dialogue?
Now we happen to be here and you are interviewing me. And my interest is to focus, spotlight, that all that you are doing to free yourself from is the one that is keeping you where you are. Any movement on your part to free yourself from something that does not exist there, I can say that there is nothing there to be free from. So it hit me like a lightning. That's the only word that I can use, that there is nothing there to be free from. It doesn't matter what you want to be free from. There is nothing there to be free from. So wanting to be free from this, wanting to be free from that, you have 100 different things you want to be free from. So when something hits you that there is nothing there to be free from, it will hit you so hard that you wouldn't know what is happening there. You will never know what you are left with.
That's my statement. There is nobody who is talking here.
Well,
there's nobody who is listening. People, are you listening? I don't listen.
See, when he is saying something, asking questions in what is supposed to be the English language, you know, this listening mechanism does not listen to what you are saying as English language. It is not even translating.
So who's translating?
There is no translator. Your demand for an answer is the one that brings out what is there, the printout, I call it, from the computer that is there. And if there is no answer, you see, there at all for that question, if there is no information there in the computer, it does not even say that the data is not found. It does not say, like the computers searching. You ask a question, you put a question there, searching it says. But here, it doesn't even say to itself that it is searching. If there is any information that is there in the computer, it comes out as an answer to you. But actually, there is nobody who is giving answers. It may sound very mystifying. It is not mystifying. Here, what is going on is a conversation between the questioner and the one you think is giving the answers. You see, the questions are yours. And if I say that the questions are yours, the questions are not yours. The questions are born out of the answers that you already have. You see, otherwise there can't be any questions at all. So the answers you are getting are also from the answers you already have. I don't know. It may sound very mystifying, but it's not mystifying. That's the way this living organism, the human body, is functioning. It doesn't, at no time do I translate what you are saying into the language that I know. The answers are also coming out of this computer, whatever you want to call it, is your problem and not the problem of this, which is just listening to what you are saying.
Well, we seem to be trying to define, you know, this organism, you, and this organism, me, here.
The purpose of conversation, this division is artificially made.
So there's just
no questioner and there's nobody who is giving the answers. And so we are two persons making some noises, you know, whatever may be the reason why we are doing this. But the translation of that or fitting these, we are creating, if I may put it this way, that space between these two notes. That's what we are taught and that's the language. And so I have been taught how to create the space between the two notes. And that's music also. Otherwise there's no music at all. It's just noise, just like the barking of the dog. And so that we are taught, you see, how to space these two notes. And the tune which we are using says that this is English and not French, not Italian.
The difference is in the vibrations of the sound.
The sound, yes.
Because at one point you didn't know English or I didn't know English. Yes. We learned it.
If I knew some other language, I would try to fit these noises into the framework and tell myself that this is also a language. The fact that you recognize the noises as French or Italian or some other language you do not know of means that there is a movement here trying to fit all those noises into a framework that you already know.
So I get back, forgetting the question back a while that said, you know, why am I here? And, you know, your response was because my mother and father had a sexual relationship with each other. Yeah. Make love. I like that.
I would have used a harsher and more ridiculous.
I don't know whether they were making love even at that time, so.
For that. Your listeners may not enjoy this, but anyway, you can cut it out.
No, this is
prerogatives.
No, the coming together in a biological way to, you know, that created another life form. But now that we're here.
So this living organism is interested in only two things. One, to survive and to reproduce. And we have introduced the element of thought into this sex element also, which is a very natural, basic thing. And that is why it has become possible for the humans to have sex at any time they want. Otherwise, we would be like all the other animals. And sex is just, you see, there to reproduce one like that. That's all. So when once the thought is introduced into the whole functioning of the human organism, it is bound to be a pleasure moment. So that's the reason why I always make very frivolous statements. If you want varieties of fruit, you can also have varieties of girls and varieties of boys. Because there is no difference between the two. The other part of my statement may not be socially acceptable because it will create social problems and the whole lot of problems that are associated with it. But basically, essentially, it's the same.
What are the problems that you're talking about that will create?
The children. Property, security, the status quo, and the tradition, what you are talking of. Tradition, what is tradition after all? The unwillingness on our part to change with the changing things. Things are constantly changing.